So let me introduce you to Sister Sharona. She's been, may I request Sister Sharona to please come? She was born in USA and she studied in France. After studying in France and completing her higher education, she's a master's in adult pedagogy. And then she came to back to USA and she's a director, she was appointed as a director of Brahma Kumaris USA because of her spiritual interest and interest in social development. So she's been, after seeing what a commendable job she was doing in USA, she was then appointed with a very challenging task and she was assigned the task of being a director of Brahma Kumaris in the most challenging country, that's Israel, because already the country was being plagued with violence and fear. So being assigned the task of spreading the message of inner peace, hope in such a country is, I'm sure it's a very, very challenging task. So she's a director of Brahma Kumaris in Israel and now she's with us to enrich us with her spiritual knowledge and she's been constantly working towards making this world a better place for all of us. So we each can contribute and each of us can actually make this place a better place for us all. So over to Sister Sharona.
Yeah, you can move your chair outwards if you want. I'd like to be able to see everyone. This is how we try to set up the room. It's not easy to set it up for 55 people. But I think we almost succeeded. I think I can almost see everyone. Almost, almost. Yeah, that's good. There we go. I bet you could move over even more, this gentleman who just moved. Yeah. We almost always get it until the last one or two. We have a chair here if someone is fearless about sitting so close to the speaker. There's also a chair here. Okay. Comfortable? Comfortable? This gentleman, my brother, would you like to come here instead of straining your neck? He's comfortable. Now, we see how it works out. That's great. Okay. There's also two chairs here, a third one there, which has good angle. Okay, can we take just a moment of silence? And for those of you who know about the Brahma Kumaris method of meditation, we meditate with our eyes open. So you can use this picture, the image that we have of the soul to focus on, or you can focus on the live soul that I am and just see if we can come into Shanti, Om. I, the soul, am peace. Just take a few minutes. And I am going to do the same as you, just come into that awareness of myself as a soul. But as I do this, my eyes are also open and I will enjoy that exchange with each one of you by turning my gaze over the whole gathering, okay? You just see how well you can do on this morning's exercise, yesterday's exercise. I don't know if you start just today itself. So little chance just to be silent and see what natural and original part of me can come forward when there's just silence in such a special place with such special people. Make it softer, buddy. Thank you. I don't think I have anything to teach. It seems like you're all beginning to get it already. How many could, using some of the information and experiences of today, go beyond and come into a quiet and a peace inside? Yeah? How many could? How many could feel a bit of that peace? Yeah? Even if it was just for a few minutes. On, off, on, off. Very good, very nice. So do you have a void? You don't look to me like people who have a void. I was telling our brother, you all look so lovely, so beautiful, accomplished people, not just materialistically, but also spiritually, emotionally. But here's the topic, filling the void. So, what is this void? I used to, after I started my studies with the Brahma Kumaris in France, I was then sent to Boston to open our centers there. And Boston is a very intellectual place. You know, you've got a lot of universities there, Harvard, you know, etc. And I used to get Harvard professors sitting on the couch in our living room. Very, very accomplished people, very lovely people. And within 5 or 10 minutes, so many times they would just break down into tears. And I would not be expecting that. And when we would talk about it, they would say exactly the same thing that I was saying before I started my spiritual studies with the Brahma Kumaris, which was, I am so empty. I related to it. That was my phrase, even though I had absolutely everything. I'd had a beautiful family and upbringing, no complaints, beautiful education. I traveled. I started traveling since I was 17. Visited many places, lived in France for 10 years. In France I had a beautiful apartment and a beautiful job, beautiful friends, beautiful hobbies. Then I came to the Brahma Kumaris. And that's when, for the first time, I could stop that kind of depression which overcame me in France. Any time I stopped running around with my profession or my hobbies or my friends, I kept myself very busy with my vocation, my hobbies, and my friends, because I knew that if I took time out, 10 minutes, just to sit, be quiet in my beautiful apartment in the middle of Paris, in my beautiful living room with my beautiful furniture, dark clouds of depression would come over me and I would go into the deepest depression imaginable. Why? I had everything. So I related to these beautiful people coming from all these universities while I was serving in Boston. There is a void. There is a void. And it seems like no matter what we do, it doesn't fill. But I can tell you that on starting my studies with the Brahma Kumaris, that finished. It's all completely, completely finished. I don't think I've ever had a black cloud over me like a depression in decades. I've been with the Brahma Kumaris for 40 years. So, what is this void? What is this void? What would you say? Anybody have an idea?
Instability.
Sorry?
Instability of your inner peace.
Instability of my inner peace. It's there, it's not there, it's not there, it's there. Yes.
Emptiness. You are having everything, but then you feel something is empty. So what? Then you can't find the solution. Mm-hmm. So that emptiness is the void. Yeah. That sometimes you experience that within you. Yeah. No doubt you remain busy with everything, and that brings more. Yeah. And especially in Western countries, I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah.
Everything, and then what next? What I have to do?
Thank you.
Question, what to do?
Thank you.
That is void.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I don't know exactly what you do mean by void, but suddenly I feel complete restlessness.
Mm.
So, though the way you said you had a beautiful house and everything, I also had a very beautiful childhood, nice parents, everything. I'm a doctor by profession. I'm doing good in my profession. whatever I'm thinking, my purpose of life is getting solved. But sometimes suddenly I feel very restless. I feel what I'm doing, what I have to do, whether I have completely achieved what I wanted.
Yeah.
So multiple questions come to my mind and I feel absolutely confused.
Yeah.
At this stage, I
thank you. Yeah, this question, after all the time and energy and intelligence we've put into our lives, so many questions leave us restless and ultimately confuse us. It's true. So that's a kind of explanation for void and emptiness. Anyone else? Yeah.
When you are just in the quest of asking what you really want out of your desire, that's that you go void.
Yeah, if you haven't identified a purpose for your life, yeah. Materialistic society is very good in deceiving us about this. You know the joke, probably. How does it go? I'm famous at messing up jokes, so I have to think. Fellow is on vacation and sees a fisherman lounging by the side of his small, simple boat. And the big businessman on vacation, very wealthy, says, "Oh man, get up, do some work. You know, why are you just lazing around? Wasting your life like that." And so the fisherman looks at him and says, "Oh, thank you for your advice, sir, but what exactly would you advise me to do?" And he said, "Well, just get up, get some more fish." And the fisherman said, "Well, I have enough fish for the day, so why do I need more fish?" "Because if you have more fish, you could, like, sell more fish." The fisherman said, "So then what to do if I sold our fish?" So the businessman said, "You could sell enough fish to open up a shop. You wouldn't have to stay here in the sun and work so hard." The fisherman again said, "Okay, so then if I have a shop, then what?" He said, "Well, then you could earn enough money and even hire people to come and do the work, in which case you could just be free all day long." You see where I'm going with this? And the fisherman looked at him and said, "That's what I'm doing now." So society has trained us to deal with this void by suppressing it, repressing it, and filling it with get an education, then you'll be happy. Then you get the education and it's not there, get married, then you'll be happy. So we get married, but something's still there. Have the children and then you'll be fine. So we have the children and still something. So eventually we begin to suspect that materialism and anything and everything from the outside is not going to help me be that full, completed, contented person that I would imagine myself to be. We want to be full. We want to be stable. We want to come together to complement each other. Do you know this word complement? Complement, not complete each other. Raja Yoga. Here we teach Brahma Kumari's Raja Yoga. I should be the king over the kingdom of the self. Full and complete unto myself. So that when I come into relationships, I'm not expecting, which leads to disappointment. I'm not needy. I'm not dependent. I am free and able to give and give and give. You have this ideal of a relationship, I'm sure, in which I'm not expecting the others to complete me. I come, having done my work, complete. This is a recipe, not just for happiness, but filling a void. So then the question comes, of course, well, how do I fill myself so I become complete and can enter a relationship without all that neediness? So I'm going to share with you a few thoughts about this void. I would like to say, just to keep everybody on their toes, that the reason there's a void is because we're in debt. And this debt is there because we don't have enough wealth to pay off our debt. Anytime you're in materialistic debt, financial debt, how free can you be? How stable or happy can you be? Always pulling at the back of your mind is what you owe and how you can finish owing. It's a kind of void of a different sort, but a void that happens if the money I'm earning, I know, has to go straight to others, be shared with others, those I'm in debt with. So obviously I'm not talking about a materialistic financial wealth or a materialistic financial debt. I'm talking about the true wealth which will help me pay all my debts and enable me to start accumulating and reach that completeness that we're talking about. So what is the wealth I'm talking about? Gyan means knowledge. We consider these aspects of knowledge, we have seven concepts we work with, we consider it to be treasure. It is great wealth, great wealth. But we have so many people who actually can get up on a stage and mouth beautiful truths. And yet, is it really just being able to speak something, or is it able to be something? So there's still a gap. Just knowledge is one of our subjects. If it was the only one, I don't think my gap would have been filled, or my void would have been filled. So what has to go together with aspects of truth so that we become full, blossomed, contented people? Practice, for sure, practice. And what do we have to practice?
It comes from your heart.
Something has to come from my heart. One time I heard that the greatest, longest, most difficult journey is the journey between the head and the heart. And you know, I can tell you, I was teaching at Boston University for a few years as a BK, right? I was running the center and running to work, which was straight down the road by subway and back to teach classes in both universities. I realized one of my big problems, one of the things that had caused my void, was this intellectualism, you know, which makes you think you're filling a void. You know, after I got to the heart and was able to start opening the heart through relationship, new relationship with myself and new relationship with God, I realized that this intellectualism, if we're not careful, it's an illness. It's an addiction. And I had this thought, I should open a club, Intellectuals Anonymous. You know Alcoholics Anonymous? It's that bad. How I depended on the head to solve everything, take care of everything, do everything. I'm sure you're not as stuck as I was, because this whole country has enough heart in it compared to where I grew up. But it is quite an accomplishment, and it goes a long way to fill the void when I'm able to get to the heart and nurture the heart as much as I'm able to nurture the head. That is a aim of a spiritual study for sure. But what is the practical, tangible thing that will start that process for us? Meditation.
Inward power within yourself.
Creating inner power.
Yeah. they always have smile, not that artificial smile or smile. They always smile because they feel everything is within them.
Yeah.
So that's no doubt, it's a very, very long journey. But with people coming in contact like you or joining organizations like Brahma Kumari or going to the saintly person, so it has long sadhana or practice.
Thank
so
you.
That is why you feel satisfied.
Thank
you. People bring problems, no doubt everybody has problems. But you think it's just normal.
Thank you. So power is getting close to what I'm thinking of as true wealth and earning a true income. So I will share with you a little hint. Each one of you actually are enormously wealthy in this true wealth. So where is it sitting, this true wealth? Within where? Consciousness. So we're looking at two questions. What is this true wealth? And I'm telling you, you all have it. But where? Where is it? In the thoughts. Thoughts are a power. If I can keep my thoughts elevated, working with the larger picture, that's going to work for me. Yeah. Anyone else?
In the soul.
In the soul. Anyone else? What is this wealth and where is it? That's the question.
Yes.
Wealth. True wealth. That'll pay all of our debts.
In our actions.
But where do we get them from to put into our actions?
In my heart.
We're just talking about the heart. And the virtues that God has bestowed on us. So where are they? They're forgotten? Is that what you said? But where are they? Within, but where? Okay, so I will tell you. You ready? Are you ready? You ready? What is this wealth and where is it? I'm going to tell you exactly where it is. Then you're going to have it all the time and you'll have no excuse not to use it instead of the other wealth, right? Or we use them both together. You ready? It's under your chair. Honestly, search around under your chair. It's there. Go on, run your hand along the bottom of your chair. See what you find. Go ahead. Under your chair. Everybody should check.
Either in the front.
Ah, look. Yeah, can you stand up and show what you found? Yeah, she found it. Oh, he got it also. Okay. There you go. Take a look at it. Yeah, tip that chair a little bit. You'll see it. Yeah. There you go. You can help your neighbor if you found it, but you haven't, your neighbor hasn't. There you go.
Sorry for not believing you. I don't see anything there, so I'm not going to tell you. Sorry about that.
I was tricking you. Do you like this wealth? Do you agree that you have this wealth?
Yes.
Would you like to share? Stand up and read your quality.
A tiny smile is as welcome as a cup of tea in a desert.
Okay.
I want to see this.
Aura having a different form?
Yes. Smile. Okay. A timely smile is as welcome as a cup in a desert. Yeah, right. So your quality is smiling. Do you know her? Does she have that quality? She always smiling? What a wealth. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? Because they do have this wealth. They know it. Yes. Can you stand and share?
For me, this is mercy.
Mercy.
So you are an angel of mercy who seeks to create caring spaces where souls can experience freedom from the past and hope for the future.
Wow. Once again, can you read it again?
Okay. You are an angel of mercy who seeks to create caring spaces where souls can experience freedom from the past and hope for the future.
Wow, do you know him? Who is he? Merciful?
No.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. One more. Anybody else want to share? Yes. Opportunity.
The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty.
So you're optimistic?
Yeah. I would like to believe, but I am.
Well, if you sat in that chair and that was your card, it must be that it's there. It's there. Okay, thank you. What is my point? My point is that I do believe that the biggest aspect of this void, questions, confusion, restlessness, is because we lost our faith in goodness. And we experimented and tested out and got good at that which is not so good. Pessimism, unkindness, merciless, confused, frowning, instead of smiling, seeing everything as an opportunity, being merciful, are virtues, are qualities, are a very, very, very important wealth. If they are filled with power. It's because we lost the power of these truths that we maybe stopped believing in them and used other energies like anger, impatience, intolerance, irritation. All of these poked holes in the vessel of the self, and through those holes our happiness, our ability to love, our ability to enjoy was lost, and leaving behind emptiness, a void. It's not to say we've not been good people. We're really good people. But how much of that goodness is on the outside? And inside is another story. Because whilst inside is another story, we don't fill for our good actions. We just get emptier. Because whilst it's not from the inside out, but from the outside, as we've been taught, then inside me are the kind of energies which just deplete me. And I get further and further away from even understanding what's going on. So, number one is debt. Any time in front of me, something is difficult, challenging, it hurts me, it frightens me, it makes me sad, we would know enough about the laws of karma to understand that this is not what it seems like it is, right? The law of karma is basically saying that nothing is what it looks like it is. So there's an angry person knocking at my door, yelling at me because I'm parked in his car park space when I don't even have a car. I didn't do anything wrong. But here is this angry person pounding on my door and yelling at me when I open the door. Karma, the law of karma, which I'm proposing, once we understand it, is a way to start finishing all voids. The law of karma tells me this is not what it looks like it is. This is not an angry person yelling at me unjustifiably, and I'm a poor victim and so innocent, and why do these things always happen to me? This is not what is going on. According to the law of karma, nothing happens by accident, and everything is happening for my good. So what is actually going on here by a universe that loves me and only wants me to become wealthy again is a chance, an opportunity to practice my virtue, my truths. What does it mean to be a soul? Because you learned this morning, I'm not the body, I'm a soul. What does it mean to be a soul? This is what it means. It means to be very wealthy, spiritually wealthy, divine, godlike. All the virtues are there. All the virtues are there. You can enjoy the card that you picked or you sat in is yours. You enjoy it. Tomorrow you can exchange them and spend a day with that one and you'll see it's there. Maybe it's not been used a lot. Maybe it's lost its power, so you've set it aside. You don't believe in it anymore. But it's there. And life at every instance is just giving me opportunities to take it out and use it, emerge it. So one thing is understanding that I'm in debt. And the universe is allowing me, enabling me at every moment to pay my debts. It's one thing to understand that the universe wants virtuous behavior. That's what's going to bring us around to a more beautiful world. The world will only be as beautiful as are its people. So it's one thing to understand these things. But then the second thing is the power. There has to be power in it. Faith that this is who I am, and this is who everybody is, godlike, divine beings inside that body. And this power we get through meditation. This is what we're doing in meditation. First, I'm going inwards and I'm understanding myself as a soul. I'm giving myself thoughts about the self as a soul. And I'm opening myself up to that, but that experience, first and foremost, is the original quality, the original religion of the soul is peace. In that peace are so many virtues, like being balanced, being deep, being centered, or love. So many virtues as we move deeper into meditation and come into the energies of love. Because, you know, all our qualities, all our virtues are just energies. And what we're saying when we say you are a soul is we're saying you, the soul, are made of those energies. You're made of those energies. You're made of 5 qualities and 36 virtues. That is, when the soul is in the body, it can express itself in all those beautiful frequencies. If you're ready to believe you're a soul, if you're ready to give a little time to touching that, you're going to release into yourself all the power you need to start enjoying how wealthy and beautiful you are. So it's not just I am a soul, I'm not the body. I am a soul and I am peace and energy. I am love, a different frequency of energy. I'm light, which means joyous as well as wise, enlightened. I'm pure energy, which means true. And I'm powerful, strong. This is who I am. This is what I'm saying when I'm saying I'm not the body. I'm a child of God. I'm this. And then this breaks out into all these virtues which allow us to express ourselves as God would if He had a body and were here.
You can differentiate between the power by virtue of its position and the power of divine power.
How do I differentiate between divine power, spiritual power, and I miss
power, material power we are
gaining. Yeah, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
I am director, I am principal, I am officer.
Yeah.
I think he wants to say this.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, in our mannerisms of love, our mannerisms of power, strength, our mannerisms of any of these qualities, while they don't have power in them, spiritual power, they cause hurt. Either further down the road or immediately. But they sustain pain and sorrow, either to others or to my own self, ultimately. But when it's the divine energy that I, the soul, am, which is behind the mannerism, it's in the words I'm speaking, it's in my attitude, it's in my behaviors, then whether people like or don't like what I'm saying or doing, I'm okay. I'm not affected. Whether people appreciate or don't appreciate, it's okay. I know, there's no doubt or confusion or question, that what I'm saying, being, doing is good. As we continue our meditation practice and we touch those beautiful energies of virtue, quality, divinity, this begins to wash the soul. It's a very high frequency. Anger, greed, attachment, dependencies, these are also energies, but they're very low energies. These higher energies wash them out. This is why we talk about transforming, purifying. We're actually getting to the root of the character that we've become versus what we originally are. You know, the soul is like a CD. Did you ever hear Shivani talk about this? It's very interesting. You know what a CD is, right? We don't really have them anymore, what with the technology. But a CD, imagine a CD with 5 files. The soul is 5 files made up of all of the different influences coming to me, the soul. So, for example, one file of me, the soul, that I'm walking around with and it's affecting me. It's determining the quality of my behavior, my speech, my attitude. First one is what I've carried with me from my past lives. I'm the same soul. The body changes, but I carry with me the personality traits, the programmings and the conditioning. So that's one file. Another file is the influences of my mother as I'm in the womb. Those are influencing me and create a file and affect the way I'm acting and thinking and speaking. A third file is the influences of my siblings as I come out of the womb and I'm growing up. But you could also say my colleagues at work, before that my fellow students, my peers. You can even say social media at this point. My environment definitely influences. I could have grown up learning to be so polite and kind, but influences and school taught me the world is a hard place. You'll be stepped on if you're kind. You need to be tough. So this is another file shaping my character. Fourth file is willpower. We could have very well grown up in environments which were tough, but with our willpower, our study, our understandings, we changed ourselves. Willpower is another file in the soul, helping me to determine my character. But there's another file, the fifth file, and that's the file we talk about in the Brahma Kumaris, which is the original personality of the self as a child of God. Love, peace, joy, light, wisdom, power, that's who I am. Independent of all of these. And when I connect to this again, activate it and start practicing, putting it into life, action, and it starts getting strong, this rules over all of these. This chooses. And we really determine exactly the personality we want and our purpose with a lot of conviction. So this man, angry man knocking at my door about his parking space, and I don't even have a car. Law of karma. It's my opportunity to practice virtue. Could be I'm being given a chance by the universe to practice tolerance. Maybe courage. Maybe I'm a woman who just shuts down in front of men, angry men yelling at me. Maybe it's courage. Maybe it's assertiveness. Assertiveness is also a virtue. Only I can know what I'm being given the chance to practice. So what's the next step? I tolerate, or I have my courage, or I'm assertive. That's not the next step. If that's your next step, we're not paying debts yet. Debts get paid as I meet the situation with courage or assertiveness or tolerance with the real energy of that virtue, which means I have to take a split second, go inside, touch the self, the soul, the being that I am. Know myself as centered, peaceful, deep, and then manifest whatever you decide is needed. Your courage, your assertiveness, your tolerance. But I can tell you that enough of this kind of practice, everything will start changing because the void will start being filled. You will have put out the real energy of tolerance, meaning not only is the energy of tolerance going to be coming back to you, this is the real filling of the void. But this situation where you always seem to be a victim, unjustifiably people getting on your case, that'll all stop. Because the only reason that was happening was to give you this opportunity. So everything starts making sense when we understand the void is because we're in debt. And what pays it is true wealth. And true wealth is when I really start living, interacting, being and doing from some true virtue, true energy. If I meditate early in the morning, that's a whole bank that's opened up to me, makes it easier during the day to remember and to draw from it. You know, actually what we do, we don't call meditation. Did you know that? We don't call it meditation. You know what we call it? Raja Yoga. We call it remembrance. This is what we're really doing. Remembering. Who am I? And in every moment, every situation, I can do better. But not the better we used to do, you know, just from the outside. And the more we do sit-down meditation, you'll be learning tomorrow, I think, about the Supreme Soul. New understanding of God, new way of connecting to God, a whole other resource for us. My own divine self, still fresh, clean, running in there, energetically, but a little bit deep, you know, I have to go deep to touch it. But then God, you'll see, you'll learn more. Another resource, as I begin to develop, cultivate that relationship between God, the Supreme, and me, the supremely divine being, then the best of myself is more and more accessible and available to me as I go through my day. So this law of karma, this filling the void by believing again in virtue, but virtue with strength in it, virtue from the real energy of it, it's telling me that absolutely everything coming in front of me, everything, bad and good, quote unquote, is not by accident. It is the result of all my yesterdays. Right? It is the result of all my yesterdays. But I am not a sitting duck, if you know this expression. This law doesn't say, well, what's the point in getting up in the morning? My whole day is going to be made of balls hitting me from whatever I did yesterday, or a month ago, or a year ago, or even a lifetime ago, because that's what this law is saying. My whole day is going to be built on the returns of whatever I've put out in the past. But no, I'm not a sitting duck. I'm not a victim to my past with nothing to do about it, right? You're following me on this, right? Because by the same token, whatever I do today is a seed which creates my tomorrow. This is where we see meditation, yoga, remembrance, such as we practice here, is a necessity. If I want to become a fulfilled, complete, happy person, necessity, because my whole day is shaped by a past that I don't know what I did. All that matters is the quality with which I respond to whatever is coming to me now. That's the only thing that matters. You follow that? I'll just finish. It doesn't matter why coming to my door is this angry person when I haven't even got a car. It doesn't matter. What matters is how I respond. Maybe in some past life I was also unjustly accusing people, so it's coming back to me, who knows? It doesn't matter. What matters is, okay, what quality, what virtue am I being given a chance to practice, because that's why this law exists, just to give me opportunity after opportunity to become godlike as I was originally made. So I decide to be assertive. I decide that this should not go any further. I go inside. I remember myself as a soul. I see myself as a soul. With practice, this takes less than a second. With practice, I open the door already in this consciousness of being a soul. But as a first step, I'm making that connection. And then I'm saying, for example, I'm sorry, sir. Patiently, peacefully. But you're making a mistake. And if you don't stop shouting, I'm going to call the police. Assertiveness. But with power. Not with fear, not with anger, not with impatience, not with all these things which carry no power. And just increase the debt, which means increase the void. Even though that feeling of walking around with a void might not hit you till a couple days later, a couple weeks later, months or years. So I'm talking about something accumulative. If I'm not using my true wealth, I'm not earning a true income. And there's your emptiness. But everything starts turning around once my faith and goodness comes back and my power. Anybody want to ask anything? Because I would like to take a few minutes of meditation before we finish. But perhaps you'd like to say something or ask something. We have time maybe for two questions or comments. Well, the thing is that, you know, it's like one of our powers is the power to discern. We have eight powers, five qualities, eight powers, 36 virtues. One of them is the power to discern. So I might be giving tolerance when I should be assertive. I might be accepting when I need to actually take responsibility. So I would say that if I'm working with a particular virtue and the situation isn't changing, it's possible that I need to explore a different virtue. Because, you know, none of these virtues are safe alone. They all work in partnership with each other. So, for example, it's a virtue to be humble. Let me be humble. But if I'm humble without its partner, and the partner depends on the situation, it changes every time, but generally speaking, we can see that the partner to being humble would be self-respect. If I don't have self-respect, then my humility will go into an extreme. It'll be toxic, and it'll be a weakness, not a virtue. It won't change anything. People will continue to walk all over me and take advantage of me. Same for the opposite. If I do have self-respect, but I don't have humility, self-respect goes into toxicity and becomes ego and arrogance, even though it starts out as just self-respect. So all our virtues need to be in partnership. So if a virtue isn't working, I would check to see if the partner is there. It's a virtue to be light, easygoing. But if I'm easygoing without the partner, for example, discipline, right? Mm-hmm. That could be a partner, or
systematic
discipline. All of these things are virtues. So if my carefreeness isn't partnered, then this carefreeness, easygoing, can become a defect. Laziness, carelessness, big problems. Same if I'm systematic and disciplined and responsible without being easygoing, even that virtue will get me into trouble. So balance is where the power lies, which is essentially the whole spiritual path, is a path of balance.
Balance of love and law.
Balancing goodness. Goodness is powerful energy. I'm talking about divine goodness. It's very powerful energy, so especially as we begin to experience it, because this is what meditation is in Brahma Kumaris. We're going to experience that peace and make it our own, and that love and that joy, and make it my own, because it is my own. That is what I'm made of. I, the soul, am that. Okay. Shall we take a few minutes of meditation?
That divine power can do the welfare of the masses. They can transform the life of the
exactly,
masses.
Exactly.
But the political power can do the welfare of one or two persons.
Very nice.
Within the organization. That is very strong.
Very nice. Very nice. Definitely.